Action Park Media.
I am out of breath. I don't know if you are, but like getting into the studio today was a lot of work and a lot of fun already. And we've just begun.
We really have. I came and talk. I'm sorry. I was going to say something like intelligent and smart. Then I just coughed it up.
This is Flashbacks, y'all. I'm Deanna Stagliano.
I'm Jessica Hall. And yes, I coughed up some rosé because I was doing some movements that I probably shouldn't be able to do at this age. But I'm really proud of myself. And should we just kind of tell them what we were doing beforehand? Because I don't know if we can describe it that well, but it was pretty hilarious.
Jessica and I, our friendship relies on funny videos from TikTok and Instagram. And in the last like week since we recorded last, I've been sending Jessica very funny videos on Instagram of things that we should try. Mm-hmm. And we decided today in studio to hop in and try the viral turnaround video.
So it's a song. Who sings that song?
I don't know. Turn around. Every now and then I get a little.
That song. And so we had to coordinate which side Deanna would go, when I would go, when we did like the turn with our legs over our head, but we decided to have rosé with it. And that is why I was choking earlier. I was literally coughing up some rosé because I was turned upside down trying to turn around and be a TikTok star.
I'll tell you what, it is harder than it looks, people. I literally looked at that video. I sent it to you and I was like,
easy.
Oh, we got this.
Easy.
Totally easy. How confused were we at which way to turn around?
I feel like I blacked out in that moment. I just hope that later when I post it, you get a good laugh at it. And the fact that we were able to do it without feeling, I don't want to say sore, because we're going to probably
feel
that
way tomorrow. Well, I got an ab workout. Did you get an ab workout?
I don't know. From laughing so hard. Like, no kidding. I mean, Deanna, this
we
inspires.
We did execute it in the end. We did execute it in the end.
I want to do, I think we should keep at it. I think we're pretty good.
We'll just practice on Friday nights.
Yeah, with a few drinks in. But yes, we definitely, we like to bring it here on Flashbacks. We may have had some hot flash. When does that start, by the way?
I don't know.
Oh,
I think between like 40 and 50.
So no. You, a good 10-year gap? You're telling
me? I really think so. I believe that menopause lasts for several years in a row. I believe it starts a slow process.
Okay, cannot believe that I'm trying to act like a TikTok star, but yet talking about menopause flashes. All right.
I
really got to get myself together. Okay, moving on. Speaking of a workout, I am very proud of myself. I have been at it working out. I started this new thing. It's called Flex and Burn. It's 30 minutes. You literally go in. It's a bunch of, what is it called? What's that training? Like with a resistance and just hardcore weights. You were
like
sweating.
High intensity?
Yeah, I guess.
Like hit
I don't
workouts?
Know. I'm not that like. You know, I don't really work out that much before, like, the last, like, I would say 2 years. Before kids, yes, I was at it. I was doing hot yoga. I was as flexible as I could be. Cut to now. Let's not talk about that. But I've noticed, like, okay, I'm getting older. I need to work out. I have been literally working my butt off, I feel, like, you know, 3 to 4 days a week at this intense workout. Not that I'm cutting back, like, my food or drinking. Let's just get that straight. But why is it? Is it just because we're getting older? Because I don't really see that much of a difference.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing because I also have been trying to work out quite a bit just to be healthier. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm all about body positivity and do what makes you happy. And, like, food makes me happy and so does wine. And I like to do those things. But I also said the same thing to you today that I have been working out more and I'm not seeing a difference in the number on the scale. I don't even own a scale. What am I talking about?
Neither do I.
But I know that I'm getting stronger. I can see it. Steven and I bought a Tonal, so, like, it tells you every time you lift more weight. So it says, ding, ding, you're doing great. You lift more weight. So I know that it is working.
Okay.
But I guess I want that, I want that instant gratification, like we all do.
I know, but I feel like back in the day, if I worked out like this, I think I'd look like killer. And it's not like you said, yes, I'm not sitting on like, oh, I want to look like I did in my 20s. Like,
I saw a picture from like 7 years ago and I was so thin. And I was like, I would kind of like to look like that again.
Okay, 7 years, when I look back in my 20s, that was hard. That was, you know, a lot of the casting, the Playboy stuff. Like, I was so, so thin. And all, like, what I got, like, the backlash of not being thin. Like, I cannot believe that I would let anyone tell me that I wasn't, you know, thin back then. I don't even know if I was healthy. I definitely had no muscles. I was just thin. I was young. I was in my 20s. But I'm not saying I want to get back to that. But I just am just kind of wondering, why is it that I'm, like, doing this hardcore intensity workout and I don't really see a difference? If anything, I feel like bigger.
I see a difference. I was watching you when we were just trying to film our TikTok video.
Yeah.
I thought your butt looked really good.
You did? You checked my butt out?
I did.
Yeah.
Looks great in your workout pants.
I don't know. It's just like, what's my motivation
I'm a butt
to keep
person,
going?
Like, have all the butt.
No, I like curves. Love it, love it, love it. But what is my motivation to keep going when I don't feel a difference? Maybe I'm just looking to you to, you know, reassure me that I'm doing the right thing by, like, sweating my butt off, trying to make it to class on time, because that'll lock me out if I'm, like, a minute late.
I guess I can only tell you my motivation. My motivation is that I want to be able to eat what I want and drink what I want. And I don't need a six-pack anymore. That's just not – I've never had one. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I was like, damn, you had a six-pack?
I think on The Bachelorette, for a short period of time, you could see something there. But it's just like I'm a curvy person. Like, that's just how I am. I've always been this shape. Maybe I'm a little fluffier now than I used to be. But, like, I have always been this shape. I'm not anything that I wasn't even 20 years ago, just maybe 10 pounds heavier. But – I want to just, like, eat good food and not feel bad about it. Yeah. And I want to drink good wine. And I want to have a good time. Like, I don't care to be stick thin anymore and starving, man. Like,
did you feel that way, though, when you were doing, like, the height of your career in reality TV? Did you feel that there was, like, this image that you had to portray and, like you just said, were you starving? I mean, I literally was
starving because they didn't let us eat. You had to be, like, talking during – dinners, you didn't really get to eat. Like, you always see somebody just, like, pushing their food around on their plate because you had to be, like, talking. But I will say that I have never had issues with being just self-conscious of my body. I just haven't, and I feel really thankful for that because I realize a lot of people struggle with that. Mm-hmm. Body dysmorphia and all of those things. And I just have genuinely always liked my body. I think during high school once I thought, oh, I'll try to, like, starve myself and, like, lived on lettuce for, like, an hour. And I was like, oh, screw this. I'm really hungry.
A whole hour?
Yeah. I was just like, oh, this is stupid. I'd rather just eat food, you know? But I do remember when I was tapped to be the Bachelorette, and it was not this way when I was on The Bachelor. No one was like, oh, you need to go work out. You need to do this. I mean, I was probably one of the curvier girls on the show, but I still didn't mind it. I didn't feel this, like, need to, like, not eat, you know, whereas several of the girls were like, not eating bread or wouldn't have certain things at dinner. And I just was like, why waste your time? I want to eat good food. We got all this good food. We should totally eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
But there was a moment when I became the Bachelorette where they said, okay, we are going to pay for you to have a trainer. And I thought, well, why? But then stupid me, you know how naive I was. I was like, oh, well, they just want me to be healthy leading into this. They just want me to be healthy. But truly what it was, and it didn't dawn on me because I chose to do Pilates and I did it 6 or 7 times a week. And because I really liked Pilates. Yeah. I was probably the most fit in my entire life and the strongest I've ever been. But that's who I am. I can't do a bunch of squats every day because my butt just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's just how I'm built. But there was a moment when I went out a couple of weeks before we started filming the show where I met with a stylist and I was trying on all the clothes. Mm-hmm. And one of the executive producers called, and the stylist, who I love, Carrie Fettman, he's wonderful and he's still on the show to this day, put him on speakerphone, probably not even thinking. And the producer, the executive producer of the show at the time, said, well, what size is she? And I remember not being bothered by it until that moment because I had been trying on all these clothes, right? And imagine, like, the best shopping scenario altogether. You walk in this room and there's just, like, racks and racks and racks of clothes and you just get to try them on all day long. That's all you get to do. And I'm talking about designer clothes, things that I would have never been able to purchase in my entire life. And I got to have everything that I wanted. If it fit me and it looked great, they would tailor it to me and I got to wear it on the show. But I remember feeling in that moment self-conscious because the executive producer called and said, well, what size is she? And the stylist, probably without even thinking, because it's his job, said, she is a perfect 4. She's doing great.
Okay.
But then they made me continue to work out during filming.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They would, like, force it. They would, like, put it in my schedule. And then I remember hearing chatter, like, behind the scenes of them saying, oh, well, this Bachelorette, we would find candy bars in her suitcase. And by the end of filming, we would have to resize all of her dresses. Bigger.
Oh my gosh.
Because she gained so much weight. Or, like, this bachelor had far too much alcohol, so we had to resize all of his suits because he got too big. Things like that. And, like, even for a pretty confident woman, that will absolutely mess with you. But
of course.
Remember thinking during the filming that I would be shamed if I ate too much or if I gained any weight because they'd already picked out all these clothes for me or they'd sized them to my body, and it'd be a shame. I would be an inconvenience if they had to go back and let a stitch out.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's funny now because I feel like you, when you did The Bachelorette, was there social media?
No, there, people had like MySpace.
Okay.
People had MySpace. Yeah. And I believe that's when like Facebook started becoming more public, meaning it wasn't just meant for college students. It was more public. Like anybody could go onto Facebook and use it. But I just didn't. I think I've said this a couple of times when we've been recording. When I was done, like literally the day when my season of The Bachelorette was done airing, Twitter launched.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm trying to get my bearings here. Because when I first, I think if someone were to tell me, and I was thinking about this on the drive here, I was like, I'm going to ask Deanna the same question because you and I have been in this business for a very long time. A little different, but also, you know, very much the same, being that it was the same era, like in the early, mid-2000s. Yeah. So much fun, but also some hardships. But I think about the stuff that I did early on being, you know, posing for Playboy and then all the other stuff that I did that came along with it. There was no social media, so I never really worried about it. You know, I didn't think like, oh, later on that people are going to be able to Google me and see my vagina and my my boobs, you know? But it's crazy because that there was a moment before everything was so accepted, but now it's like no one will put you down for, like, you know, maybe being a more of a free spirit or showing this or that. Like, everyone is just more
accepting.
Accepting, I guess that's the word. But, you know, there was a moment that I was like, oh, holy cow, hold up. I didn't know this was going to exist. Like, when I first did it, it was like this beautiful, tasteful, like, magazine. They had a little bit online. I don't think the dog, gosh.
No, I think it was still like a magazine. .com. Yeah, no, you had to like, you had to like buy the magazine form. Yeah. You know, you had to buy the magazine form.
And it was so credible. Everybody, I mean, in Hollywood, it was like the place everyone talked about the Playboy Mansion. There was all this like really hype around it. Mm-hmm. And I, again, though, being such a young girl, I didn't really think later on that it would, you know, obviously, you know, forever be there online, and not just that, but then when social media hits, you know, in the very beginning, I remember when I first started my Instagram, because I was never a social media person. I don't think I had a MySpace. I definitely didn't have Facebook, the Twitter. Now I sound really old. You know that Twitter. But I didn't, like, I'm not a social media person. I'm not. And I remember when I had to start it, it was when I started doing reality TV. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you need one, you need to help promote the show, this is how we do it. And I'm like, okay, it's another form of, you know, marketing. I get it, advertisement, let's do this. And it's crazy now just how big social media is and how, you know, I started watching, like, I wasn't getting any of the hosting jobs that I, you know, used to go for because a lot of the reality people were coming in. Or then I stopped. I remember when I stopped kind of doing the castings, I think I just had my daughter. And, you know, I'm still, like, you know, early 30s, and I just remember sitting back, and they're asking, oh, so what's your social media following? I'm like, wait, this is where it's at now? You have to have a certain amount of following and, you know, maybe have done – I mean, because so many people – have all their own platforms now. They're YouTube stars or TikTok stars or all these. I'm like, I can't compete. Like, this was great. I had a freaking blast doing it when I could before it was just, like, everywhere, meaning, you know, the internet and social media and stuff like that. Like, do you ever feel sometimes like, okay, I'm glad I did The Bachelorette in that era where it wasn't where it is today?
Oh, 100%. I've said that 1,000 times because after I did the show, it wasn't like paparazzi were like hiding in my bushes in Noonan, Georgia. Like I went home and yeah, people recognized me, but I lived in a small town. It wasn't like I couldn't just go to Walmart without makeup on. You know what I mean? Like I went back to a normal life and lived a normal life. I got some really cool opportunities out of it, but it's very different now. Whereas like once you come off the show, you have to have this social media presence and people are judging you behind a television screen or a phone screen. Do you know what I mean? And I just didn't have to live in that era. Whereas like we just dealt with like message boards. Did you guys have to deal with
that? Oh yes. So my first
job ever. Hidden message boards of like people ripping you apart and like saying things about you. But and there was no photos. It wasn't like you had like a photo to say who you were. You could just be like, M284, Deanna's trailer park, and I saw her brother in jail the other day. Like, you could just make up blatant lies, and, like, I would have never known if I didn't go to this message board and read it.
That people can make up this, like, crazy imaginary, like, scenario with you, and you're like, no, I know me. Like, that is not the case. That is not the truth. It's kind of crazy that we are given these, like, ways to – before celebrities I mean, all era of celebrities, they were untouchable. Like, now you can pretty much contact almost anybody. Isn't that kind of crazy to think about?
It is, but
like,
honestly,
anyone can.
That's why I appreciate some of the, like, I mean, really large actors and actresses that just steer clear of social media. They just don't do it. You know what I mean?
Like, oh,
so
yeah.
It does not, it doesn't weigh in on their success or where they stand in their career, their mm-hmm. talent, their whatever. You know what I'm saying? I actually find that so admirable. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. Several times I'll look at mine and be like, oh, I wish I could just quit this. I wish I could just turn it off and not look back. But I also have FOMO, so I'm like, I could post a cooking video right now, you know. So, but I really do admire a lot of those, you know, large actors or musicians who really step away from having social media. I just saw recently that what's the kid in Spider-Man who dates Zendaya?
Tom Holland.
Gosh. Tom Holland, cutie patootie. He's so cute. He's like British. Rumor has it, him and Zendaya, I believe I'm pronouncing it correctly, they have been dating for several years, but they keep their relationship pretty under wraps now. Okay. Cameras have been following them around everywhere, so you're starting to see more and more photos of them online. And him being a young actor, he's got to be 24 or something like that. Like, he's super young. He posted a video last week, and I remember thinking,
I saw it.
So admirable. I'm pro mental health. Like, I believe in therapy. I believe in counseling. If you need medication, by all means, take it. Like, I am pro your mental health. And he posted a very genuine video and was just like, hey, I'm going to delete this. Like, this is messing with my mind. It's messing with my well-being, and I don't want to go to that place. So I'm going to take a step back. I appreciate your support, but like, this is me choosing health, and I need to delete this app because it makes me question everything about myself. And I was like, good for you, dude.
You know what's crazy is I maybe someone sent it to me in my DMs, because I don't really like go through Instagram and kind of just, you know, explore. I think that's the word that, you know, Instagram uses, because of, you know, just the mental health and just seeing stuff that maybe doesn't serve me, or just, you know, I just rather choose my time to doing something else. But I did come across this video. And I mean, the moment when I did, it was only up for like 6 hours, and I could see there's almost 3 million people that watched it. So the fact that, let's look at the positive side, though. He is talking about mental health and how important it is, and he's addressing it. But in 6 hours, he had 3 million people. And that's
he touched that many people.
But it's because of that app. It's because of Instagram. So when it doesn't serve him, it's like a—
Well, it's also because of who he is. You know what I mean? Like, he obviously has that many followers.
Yeah, but and then you see every outlet. Without that app, without Instagram, he wouldn't be able to reach that many people without those followers. Like,
yeah,
that app
sure.
has given. So this is where I'm at. It's like a love-hate relationship with social media. Because of that, he was able to address something that was important that touched probably many people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like one of those, like, I guess, love.
He also is not trying to sell ads on his Instagram. Like, he's banking.
Nothing wrong with
movies.
That. There's
like, he doesn't, I'm not saying there's anything wrong, but he can delete it because he's not getting paid to do things off of it.
See
I'm
your
just
point.
Saying, like, there is this piece where,
so
like,
Did he delete?
I don't know. I
look
don't follow Tom Holland.
Well, let's look it up.
I bet you he probably did. It's not, or maybe he just deleted it off of his phone. You know what I mean? I'm sure he didn't, like, delete his full page, because what happens when he wants to come back? You know what I mean?
So he's
But he's also Tom Holland. He could wipe his page clean, and then in 6 months make a comeback, and he'd still have 3 million followers because he's Tom Holland. People love him, and they're like, oh man, maybe he'll post a picture of him and his girlfriend.
Okay, Deanna's getting a little giddy here because I think she secretly loves this shit.
I do. I like Tom Holland. I think he's a little cutie pie. I didn't even get to see Spider-Man, but I was just like, oh, him and his girlfriend, they're so cute. Yeah, he still has his page.
He
67.9 million followers.
That's how many people follow
him?
He's
only following 291. Do you think I'm one of those?
No.
Me
either. It would say follow back, Deanna. It's okay. Has there, you know, speaking of that, has there ever been like a weird moment where you're like, whoa, this person follows me? Have you ever had any of those?
Yeah.
I just had one the other day.
Okay, yes. One day I realized Kevin was following me and I wasn't following him.
Kevin,
who owns this Action Park Media.
Well, I would hope he would support his talent on his show.
But I wasn't following him. I'm not sure how I found him. I believe Action Park posted a video or something
of
ours.
I sure hope you followed back, Deanna.
I did. I literally was like, oh, Kevin, that's so nice.
I had someone
me.
The other day from Jersey Shore follow me. Angelina?
Oh, that's so fun.
It was just like a random, and she commented on something, so I went to her, and I was like, oh, my gosh, she follows me. But sometimes it's like, you know, these people that you may have seen or heard about or this or that. And it's like, that's my funny story. That's how I know Hillary Duff. She followed me before I followed her.
Oh, I like Hillary.
Yeah, I think she has a girl crush on me, or maybe it's vice versa.
Well, could you bring her in here so that I could just fangirl on her?
I totally can. I should ask her.
And then afterwards we can be like, oh, surprise, we're going to lunch, and then dinner, and then we're staying the night.
So our first date, that's what we like to call it, because it was like one of these moments that she was following me, then I started following her, then I was like, are you kidding me? This is Hillary Duff. Like, she's, I mean, not only a gorgeous girl, but she's, like, so freaking cool. I mean, you would think she'd be cool, but after getting to know her, I'm like, wow, you were just the most down-to-earth, funny. She asked me to, where'd we go? Some, like, bar restaurant. And I remember showing up, and I just had, like, jeans and a T-shirt on. She got a dress, and the first thing she said to me was, like, I wore a dress for you. I was like, oh, sorry. And then she started, it was just, like, a little funny moment. But then she ordered something, and I have never, like, I'm not a big, like, a seafood person, and she ordered, like, this shrimp, and I picked it up, and this is kind of embarrassing, but I was like, what the hell do I do with this? And she just looked at me, and she goes, you do know how to peel a shrimp, right? I was like, you peel this? And she just looked at me, grabbed the shrimp, was, like, going at it, unpeeled it, throwing it over on my plate so I could eat it, and I'm like, I'm sorry, sugar, I'm from Texas. And I go, okay, well, I just never peeled, like, I didn't know. I know you cook a lot. You obviously know.
You were like,
about
this
food.
Is the best date I've ever had.
Yeah. I mean, she really took care of me. And she even, yeah, she tried to pick the tab up. And I'm like, no, no, no. She's like, you get me next time. I'm like, this was a great first date. Like, and then after, like, a bottle of wine in, I started with a martini, went to a bottle of wine. We Ubered home, of course. But it was just, like, one of those moments that you left. And it was like, that was fun. And I think that's what, like, you know, life's about sometimes at the end. Like, when you go out, like, I don't want to sit there. And I know with kids and just everything that's going on, it's like to get out, to go out, to get dressed, but to have a good time is so amazing. Because sometimes I feel like I just go with emotions. Like, okay, I got to go here. I have to go there. But to let loose, laugh, and have fun is
Or just, like,
important.
Build genuine connection with other people.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and I'm not saying it like an intimate way. Do you know what I mean? But just to have a genuine connection with other people, other friends that you want to be around. Like, there's just a really beautiful thing. We said this in one of the last episodes that, like, we're picking and choosing who we want to be around and the people we want to spend our time with because it's more valuable, or at least we now find value in that.
Agreed. Yeah. See, I think as you get older, it just comes to, it's more clear. I mean, in my 20s, I had the most FOMO ever. I was like, everyone, more the merrier, party, let's do this, let's do that. And then as you get older, you're like, okay, this is cool. I like a handful of people. This is fun. I like, you know, I want to be someone that just feeds my soul and just, like, makes me laugh. And I mean, I don't trust anyone that won't drink with me. But other than that, like, I don't ask for much.
You'll know when Jessica and I don't hang out for periods of time, and it's when I've given up alcohol.
Oh my gosh, this is a really funny story. So Deanna, our old producer Sophie, was trying to ask us, like, when are you coming in? And Deanna's like, oh, well, you know, she had a job at the time, and she was trying to quit. I thought she was trying to – Deanna, can you explain the story? Because it was really funny when I didn't care so much that she was going to quit her job.
Jessica's butchering it.
I am butchering it.
She's butchering the story. There was this period of time where Jessica was trying to find time to get in the studio to record, right?
Okay.
We hadn't been in a few weeks, and it's important to be in here and share our stories and share our lives with the podcast with you guys, and we love nothing more than to do that. But it was right around the holidays, and Jessica was saying, when can we get in to record? And I thought, when I told her this, that we were talking about something that had to do with wine, because the text message switched to when can we have wine next week or something like that. And I responded back by saying, I'm going to quit, or I'm thinking, like, I'm feeling like I'm going to quit. And Jessica was like, oh my gosh, yes, congratulations. And I wrote her back and I was like, I mean wine.
No, you didn't say wine yet. You're like, okay, thanks or something. So then I went and told our old producer, Sophie, I said, no, Deanna's quitting. We'd probably go in anytime now. And then so she wrote back to me and you, Sophie didn't, said, okay, so can you come in?
You can come in this Wednesday, right?
And
since
Deanna
you quit.
Goes, I can't. And I have a job. And I go, Deanna, you said you quit. And she goes, wine. I go, nobody quits wine. I rather think that she quit her job than actually quit wine.
I was talking about the wine. I quit the wine.
How long did you quit that wine for?
We got COVID, so I definitely quit it for like 10 days, 2 weeks. Because we got COVID.
So you quit wine because you got COVID. That's what it took.
Well, I quit wine because I wanted to quit wine in general, and just the holidays are a mess. You know what I'm saying? Like, everyone's having a party. Everyone's hosting dinners, and there's just so much food and alcohol. So I was just like, oh, I'm going to quit wine for a bit.
Anyways, it was. I hope that came across funny because it was really funny in our text messaging. But sometimes I'm horrible, like you said.
It didn't quite land.
It didn't quite land. My delivery was really bad. Speaking of delivery, if you guys tuned in last week, we talked about Kyle's poop story. He loved that video, by the way. I decided to show him. No! He goes, Jessica, you will never let that down. I said, are you kidding me? If you shit your pants, I have every right to tell everyone. So I bring this up because there was another – we talked about a poop story. Now I have a pee story. Not with Kyle, though, so he'll be very grateful that I did not speak of him this episode. So when I was dating Kyle the first, like, couple years, we'd always go to this cabin in the Midwest, and it was all Kyle's college friends, high school friends. He has maintained the same group of friends since he was, like, I don't know, 8. They're amazing. We still talk to him to this day. When everyone started having kids, the cabin trip obviously started, you know, not happening as much anymore. So this is like my second or third year going. And his friend Nick, he was dating this girl at the time, and they came. And, you know, it was a good-sized cabin, but there was like 2 full beds in one room. So Nick and his girlfriend were in one bed, and me and Kyle were in the other. We had a crazy, you know, Binger and I mean, we're in our early 20s. We are just partying, having a good old time, maybe too much fun. And Nick is very sophisticated. He works, you know, in Chicago. He's like a commodities trader. Like, he's a great, great guy. Just not the guy that I thought would end up doing what he did. So we are in bed, and there is like kind of a light shining in. You know how the moon kind of shines and you can kind of see like a silhouette of someone? So I just remember kind of like rolling over and feeling like just someone over me. And you just have that weird eerie. I looked up and I was like, oh my gosh. And I kind of like startled. It's Nick. And then as I look down, I'm like, oh my gosh, he is completely naked.
Oh,
like, what is going on? And I look over, I'm like, he's not awake. I don't know what's and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he released on me. He pissed on my face. I can't even, no. I screamed so loud that Kyle went and grabbed me and yanked me because he just, in his dead sleep, he just hears me screaming. So he went, pulled me aside. So Kyle's arm got a little pee on. Nick was like kind of coming to, like scared, but still sleeping. And then his girlfriend was like, oh my gosh, like trying to guide him away. I jumped in the shower and I was like, what the hell just happened? I just got pissed on and not like hot. Like, this is gross. I mean, freaking out. The whole entire house woke up. Some of the girls were running up like, oh my gosh, what happened? What happened? And the girlfriend's like, please don't tell anyone. I go, are you kidding me? I'm going to tell everybody. If I get peed on, everyone's going to know, which is really funny because I just repeated it again here on the radio, but I did not say his last name. So we're good. They ended up getting married. Everything's good. But yes, so I don't know what it is about me in the Midwest, but from the poop story to getting peed on.
It happens in the South, too.
It does?
It does. Mm. I was in high school once, and the guy that I dated during high school, his best friend was over, and they were all partying. I did not drink in high school. It was just not something that I did.
Neither did I.
Yeah, I had this weird thing. It's not weird, actually. It's a very
it's
valid
like against
thing.
Against the law.
Right. I just felt like I didn't like to be out of control, and I guess I just didn't trust the people enough around me that someone would be the designated driver. You know what I mean?
No, yeah, agreed.
And so I always was just sober. I didn't want to be taken advantage of. I didn't want something to happen, all of this stuff. So all of my friends were drinking. We were sneaking down in my boyfriend's parents' basement, and they were all drinking, but like drinking how high schoolers do because you don't know how to consume alcohol. So they're all like guzzling like the cheapest vodka that you can possibly find.
Yeah, let's talk about that real fast. Like our thing was
you're also
Boone's
broke. It's not like you have a lot of money.
$2 for like a liter.
The first alcohol that I ever tasted was Mad Dog 2020.
I don't know what that is.
Maybe it's a Southern thing. But it's in the grocery store on the shelf right next to Boone's Farm. It's even a little cheaper than Boone's Farm.
The wine coolers, like all that nasty.
Zimas with Jolly Ranchers.
Ew!
I did it all. Yeah.
Oh,
But you did that because it's not like you had money. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Like, when I go to the grocery store now.
So like, hey, parents, can I have some cash for my
right.
my Boone's Farm?
I feel like I go to McDonald's.
No.
Can I get $20?
Yeah.
So you got to get as much as you can with $20. Like,
agreed.
I go to the grocery store now, and I'm like, oh, sure, I'll buy a $45 bottle of wine, but that's because I earned my own money. When I was 18, I didn't have any.
Yeah, but also 18, you're not sitting there trying to, like, stir the wine and, like, sip on it, like, to taste what it is.
Do we do that now?
I don't know, no. It just sounded classy for a moment, Deanna.
This guy did the exact same thing, and he was big. He was a football player on the high school football team in the South. We like love football. It's all we care about is football. He was one of the star football players, and he and my boyfriend at the time and all of their friends just proceeded to drink, and I was the only one who wasn't drinking. So when it was time to go to bed, for some reason, his parents didn't think it was weird that we all went to sleep in the same room, like we were just down there being angels or something. And same thing. moonlight shining in over the window. We're laying in the bed, and I am not a light sleeper, but I guess with the scenario with all these strange people in the room, I wake up because this big dude, and I mean a football player, like he was at least like 6'3". He was a big dude. And he climbed up on the bed, hands, knees, stood up, walked across me, my boyfriend at the time, put his hand on the wall and pulled his shorts down and whipped his pants out and started to pee. And I was like screaming.
Pee where? Peeing on someone or
Thank
just-
God someone stopped him. I think my boyfriend at the time like kicked him straight off the bed. Like kicked him straight off the bed before he peed all over us.
What? Like, I mean, I'm not a dude, so I don't understand if you can't just like kind of... What is that with men? Because I can name a few others, but I'm not. I'm going to be nice.
I
think it happens
with girls, too, though. I have had girlfriends say that.
Not
me. But I have had girlfriends, like, in college when they drank too much, said that they peed their bed several times. Peed their bed. Like, straight up peed their bed like a six-year-old child. I have girlfriends who said they did that. Now, I have never done that. But I've definitely had dreams where I thought I was peeing and then woke up and been like, oh, my God, I got to go pee.
Me, too.
But I didn't pee myself.
Okay.
Did you?
Why do I admit stuff sometimes? Like, it feels like just you and I are in the room. Yes. I mean, there was a moment I do remember when I was dreaming that I was going to the bathroom, but I clearly was not going to the bathroom, and I was probably in my mid-20s. But it wasn't a drunken thing. It was.
But you peed yourself.
If you call it that.
It's funny though. You don't have these dreams where you poop yourself and then wake up and you're laying in a pile of poop in your bed.
Oh gosh. I can't believe we're talking about this. You know what?
This is where we always go to.
These are some serious flashbacks though. You know, we all have these moments, and thank goodness, as we said in the beginning of the show, that there is no social media around back then. So we were able to get away with that. Could you imagine now? I mean, wait, what am I trying to say? I just brought up the fact that Kyle shit himself on
for a second time
radio, and then let's finish, and then I posted it. So technically, it did make it to social media.
Technically,
he doesn't everyone care. Knows. He's so funny. He's like, Jessica, I'm never going to live that one down, am I? I go, no, absolutely not.
Well, it's nice to hear Kyle doesn't have social media, and he truly doesn't care about social media whatsoever. You know what I mean? And Kyle's a good sport.
He does not care.
He's crazy, like, Carl.
Crazy Carl.
He hasn't been crazy in a long time.
No, but when I first dated this guy, and all his friends would call him like college buddies, and he played rugby, which is a pretty hard sport, and he was a lot bigger when I first met him. And when they called him Crazy Carl, I was like, why? What is this Crazy Carl? And then I got a glimpse of it, and I was like, ooh, I don't know if this is going to work. I was like, this guy is crazy. Like, coming from the Midwest, I mean, he fought, he brawled, he wasn't afraid of anything. I mean, the guy, like, he would throw his shoulder out. Like, he had to get shoulder surgery. I mean, it did start with rugby, but he would, like, literally do these weird rolls in the middle of the street or jump off roofs that, you know, and when we were in Wisconsin, I think it was, pop his shoulder out. I would watch him on the floor, literally roll it back in. And he's like sweating refusely. I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? And he's like, he literally won't pop it back in.
Makes my skin crawl.
Yeah, I watched it firsthand. I'm like, you are like, there is something wrong with you.
I believe that we have shared this story before. So if you are new here and you are listening to this and you've never heard this, when Jessica and I first became friends, it was probably 6 months, and then it was time for Kyle's 40th birthday. And if you know Jessica and you know her well, she doesn't do anything small. She throws the best parties, the best birthday parties, you know, for herself, for Kyle, for the kids. She just throws really great parties, and you're super generous.
You gotta take that back. I do not throw birthdays for myself.
No, you don't.
I do girls' nights.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't like my birthday. So that is just one thing. I don't know why, but I'm not a big birthday person for myself. But yes, my kids, bridal shower, whatever it is, I do. I like to go all out. I think I was like a party planner in my past life.
See, you're very good at it.
Thank you.
So for Kyle's 40th, Jessica throws this huge party, black tie, at one of the golf courses nearby. And It is so much fun. There's like a casino in the back where you can play cards. There's dancing. There's live music. I believe that I became a DJ that night. It doesn't matter. But what I learned about Kyle that night is that there is this secret side to him. And when he told us the next day that he was slightly hungover.
Slightly.
And that Jessica had to fight him that night when they were leaving to get him to get in the car. That's because right. Crazy Carl wanted to ride home on the roof of his car, hanging on to the roof.
Sure did.
Like an animal.
Yep. At 40 years old. I mean, it's not, I can't even make up an excuse. It's not like he's like this, you know, young spring chicken here. He is trying,
He probably could have done it.
There is a photo of my friend and business partner, Bill, like holding him back, like trying to talk sense to him. Kyle's like, I'm going to do it. And I was like, at that time we lived really, really, really close. So I really debated on just being like, fine.
Just try it.
I don't even care.
Hang on tight.
Because, you know, when you're planning a party, I definitely had a few drinks, but I was too worried about just everything going perfectly. And not only I had Kyle to worry about, but he has identical twin brother who I did it for as well. So we had a lot of different, you know, people from his friends, family, people flew in. I just had to be.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let's continue about this party, because I just remember I had like a 3-month-old, right? Yeah. 2018. I don't know. Okay. I had a young kid.
No, Jake wasn't a 3-month-old because I didn't know Jake when he was a baby.
I was definitely breastfeeding. I do know that for a fact because I remember that so well, actually. Long story short, we came back. Lane decided to get a hotel with his girlfriend at the time. So they stayed somewhere else. I had Kyle's dad and his stepmom. Then I had some friends from, you know, Minnesota that flew out that I was housing as well. I put my new baby and my daughter in one room, and I put an air mattress, so I slept with them. But then there was this random girl that came back, and I was like, I'm sorry, how do I know you again? Because I was like, she's at my house, everyone's continuing to party but me, because I'm upstairs with the kids. And she was like, oh, I'm Lane's friend. And I was like, oh, I think I've met you before, but I can't recall. Long story short, she got so wasted, she threw up on my couch. I'm not joking.
Beautiful couch.
Yeah, no, that is not the same couch, because I could not get it. It is a smell that I'm not giving her name, so this is fine. Sometimes I have to watch what I say, I feel like. But you know what? If you threw up on my couch, it deserves to be said again.
Yeah.
So not only that, I was like taking care of. Oh, it was – I woke up the next – I don't want to say I woke up. I don't even think I slept more than an hour, because there was so much like chaos and it was so loud. And Kyle was like so on one. And, you know, the baby was like, oh, it was so – I just remember being like, this was fantastic, but I'm so glad it's over. Kyle is, his birthday is Christmas, so, and he's a twin, so he never celebrates. He told me I'm allowed to do every 10 years. So that's why he got that big, big party. And that's why I put up with
everything. We kind of do the same thing. We only do monumental birthdays.
Yeah.
Because I feel like also when you get past a certain age, you really don't need a big dinner with everybody celebrating you and giving you gifts.
No. I mean, I'll go for a happy hour. Like, you threw my birthday last year. It was fantastic. It was
let's have dinner.
Spot. Yeah.
Write a few drinks.
And we ended up playing the piano. And
I remember.
Yes. You know, we did just attend 40th birthday, on Friday?
Yeah, this past week.
And it was kind of crazy to see some people, like, get down. It was adult swim party. Mm-hmm. It started at 5:30, so I actually asked the host. I was like, is this, like, a swinger situation? And she was laughing. I was kind of half kidding. But it was insane, like, to see some of these, like, grown adults. There was a guy in a G-string going down the slide that literally asked his wife, who I'm very good friends with, and I said, is that yours? And she's like, no, that's his. I was like, okay, that's even worse. But just watching just some of the chaos of just, you know, seeing grown adults, and it is pretty cool to see, though, when we have so much life, you know, that gets in the way, like, during the week, whether it's work, kids, personal stuff, whatever. And just seeing grown adults let loose. I mean, we still deserve that. I mean, is there a moment that we just have to cut that off?
I hope not, because there was a taco cart and it was so good.
I didn't even get any tacos.
Oh, Jessica. I made a stance that day, because my 40th last year, we had a taco cart and I didn't eat. I just, because my goal was to dance all night long. That's what I wanted to do. And I remember our friend saying that there was going to be a taco cart, and I was like, I'm going to eat so many tacos. And that's all I did. So while everyone was having a great time and wearing their G-strings and going down the slide, I was like sitting at the table with Steven eating tacos and chips and salsa, because that is my life.
But that sounds like a great life, by the way. But there was that moment that I was like, why didn't we, you know, you felt the same way. I was like, I am not getting in a swimsuit. I am not. But then looking at everyone else, everyone's like so full of life and they didn't care. Like, everyone's just, you know, all different body types. And I was like, more power to you. I wish I could be more like that.
100%. I also appreciated that they kept it pretty dark once the sun went down. I probably would have gotten in the pool then once it was pretty dark.
That's not a bad idea.
I've never liked being in a swimsuit, though. Neither, so, like, I totally
neither,
admire.
Which is strange, but
you did Playboy, and you were very comfortable in your skin to do that. But it's just not ever been something that I've been comfortable with. I just do not.
Okay, I'm glad you said that, because there was a guy at the party that was like, didn't you do Playboy? Because I didn't want to get in the water. And I'm like, yeah, like 17 years ago. But
also, but shouldn't that matter?
It shouldn't matter. And this is sometimes kind of annoys me when people – it doesn't – it's not who I am. Like, yes, it's something I did. It doesn't define me. Like, I'm not sitting here walking around naked all the time. And, gosh, I mean, I mean, sometimes I get some of my photos, like, from, like, fan mail or something like that, and I'm like, oh, my God, I look so good. But, you know, cut to now, or not even now, like, even a couple years after that, I've just never been that person that's going to be like, let's put my swimsuit on.
Yeah, it's not like you dress provocatively. It's not like you're, letting your body hang out.
But people think that, though.
Yeah, I think there's this stigmatism around.
It's crazy.
Women who pose that way or pose, like, in a bikini or pose for a Playboy, I think there is a stigmatism that they must be nudist or enjoy to have their body on display. And I think some women really do. They don't they don't mind, right, letting their body show.
But I never.
Yeah, I never did. I've never been – you'll never look back at any of my photos and see me, like, in a midriff. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying that was my comfortability.
Why
I just
are
didn't.
Those back? Why are crop tops back?
I don't know, but I'm thankful that the mom jeans are back, that the higher-waisted jeans are coming back. Like, I'm thankful for that. But if – as long as, like, they say history repeats itself, and I would just like to not go back to the era of low-rise jeans.
Oh, my gosh. I had so many of those, like the Britney Spears, like with, you know, way below – I mean, literally right above your vagina. Like, I don't even know how – like, when I sat down, I'm like, how did that even work?
How did you not – or I guess you did. Like, there are so many pictures where you would see a girl sitting down, and you could see, like, their thong hanging out because their jeans were so low.
But I think that was in, wasn't it?
So, like, Britney Spears still wears her pants like that.
Damn, dude. No, I do have a pair of, remember True Religions?
Yeah.
Or like Paige, or not Paige.
Paige, they were too.
No, I still have Paige. Paige is still cool. No, there was a brand, I cannot think of it, but they were so like Betsy, not Betsy. Oh, this is going to
True Religions are for sure. Those are the ones that everyone had. They were like $200 before people bought $200 jeans.
Oh my gosh.
But they had that distinct look on the backside, like where the back pockets were. They had these like weird lips to the pocket, and they had this weird design right on the pocket. So you knew right away that everyone was wearing them.
Yeah.
But they were really expensive.
I still have one pair because there's sometimes I try to like, you know, save from like eras. So I was like, oh man, my kids will. I'm like, hell no, my daughter's not wearing these. That and the Von Dutch hats.
Oh, I never did that. I never did
that.
You
didn't.
Okay,
that was a big
Playboy. I wrote that one out and I was like, I'm going to skip that phase.
A lot of girls, Playboy did that. So it was, you know, wherever you kind of surround yourself around at that time.
Sure.
But I go back and I look at these like jean skirts with these like neon like color tops. And like, you remember those flip flops that had like 4-inch plait?
But Jessica, those are coming back.
Wait,
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
I'm sitting here in an AC/DC shirt and leggings that have dog hair on them.
Yeah, they are. I went to buy sandals for Addison the other day, and they are selling literally with three straps, two across the top of the foot and one around the ankle, and the platform foam.
The foam, that's what I was looking at.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. No. Nope. There are some fashion that should stay, but you know what? More power to you if you like it.
That and low-rise jeans. Don't ever.
Okay.
Don't
All
ever.
Right. So if you have any takeaway from flashbacks today, it's don't get pissed on.
Do not ride on the roof of your car to go home.
Uh-huh. Low-rise jeans should never come back.
And we can still do it. Turn around.
Sing it. It's Bonnie Tyler, by the way.
Is that who it is?
Yes.
Turn around. Mm-hmm. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous and I'm out of turn around.
Totally. Got it. All right. I'm Jessica Hall.
I'm Deanna Stagliano.
And this is Flashbacks.